This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the playoff voice of the Raptors.
Today was supposed to be a personal day. And that ended when Dodo had texted me this morning.
Well, how does a personal day, like, didn't you just have one, like, a week ago?
What? No, I didn't.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago, you had a personal day.
No, I haven't had one in a long time.
No, you had one during the Leafs playoffs. You were off. You were definitely off. You had a personal day during the playoff round. Like, the Leafs were off one day. It was a Wednesday, I remember.
Yeah, you had a
Wednesday. A personal day, maybe 3 weeks ago. I'll give you 3 weeks. Man. So what is this supposed to be like? We should be ecstatic that you're in here. We owe you some sort of adulation.
There's just some big news that happened, and I said, my boys need me. I'm coming in there.
I'm going to go into my job.
Yes. Good
man. I'm actually going to show up for my job today.
Well, it's funny how my reputation, because I don't take a lot of sick days, but generally when I do, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, your reputation precedes you because there were a lot of notes saying, like, Hayes must be sick today.
The amount of people tweeting in, and I'm just reading some of the people texting into the station, like, just assuming I wasn't going to be here. Now, I have been planting the seed all week about not feeling that well. And there was a part of me that was thinking, maybe I will take Friday off. But
maybe there's a chance.
There was no way. I mean, there's too much going on. There's way too much going on. And we want to point out that Kyle Dubas will be in studio at 4:30.
That's impressive.
Yeah, Kyle's making his way up here. So we're going to catch up with Kyle Dubas in studio at 4:30. Masai Ujiri will be on the show at 5:30. Masai's not driving up here, but he's going to call up.
Yeah.
So he's going to call us at around 5:30. We're bugging Ray over in Denmark.
Again?
Which is maybe more shocking than Dubas in studio or you being here or me not being sick is
on
the fact that
Friday
Ray's willing
night
to come
in
on.
Denmark. Wow.
Yeah. So,
well, it sounds
big news
like
in the
Hunt's
city.
Been working. Sounds like our producer has put together a show.
And I think we're going to take some calls maybe in the 6 p.m. hour.
Really?
That excites me.
You mean you're not going to replay the Dubas live in studio?
We'll have
interview?
It ready. We'll have it ready.
What do you think about the timing of it? I mean, like, MLSC is a big, powerful thing. Do you not think that one would have known about the other? And it's like, why today? Is it on purpose?
I don't believe it's a coincidence at all. I think today proves that the Maple Leafs tower over everybody else in the city, specifically when it comes to big news. When it comes to a big news item featuring the Maple Leafs, it towers over everybody else. Because I think two things happened today. The announcement of two things happened today as a result of the original news breaking this morning. Kyle Dubas was announced around 9 a.m., just after 9 a.m. it was announced. Dubas, new GM of the Maple Leafs, be down at the ACC for 12:30. He and Shanahan are coming out to speak with the media. Later in the morning, I guess early afternoon it must have been, Dwayne Casey is fired. Okay. And about an hour, hour and a half after that, Marcus Stroman goes on the DL. So the Blue Jays, which do not fall under the umbrella of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, I absolutely believe they looked at this and said, get it out there right now.
We got an opportunity to
get this guy on the DL while we can. And I think it's a brilliant PR move, quite
you
frankly.
So?
For
you
the Jays,
that
absolutely.
Is.
So you thought they were, I mean, we all have been talking about it. Steve Phillips suggested it on our show that he would just give him a 10-day break, like a collective.
It's a phantom injury.
Phantom injury. So that,
what is it, shoulder fatigue?
Yeah,
so they're talking
fatigue.
About it in the office, and they're like, well, hold on a second here. Checking Twitter. Dubas is up.
Casey's
out. Get this guy.
Get the press release signed up.
Stop
Let's get
it.
This guy in the deal. Oh, I
you
absolutely
don't think
believe
so.
It.
You really think
he's
so.
Not, he wasn't scheduled to pitch until Sunday. They didn't have to make this move today. They did not have to make the move today. I 100% believe.
I do too. I would have done the same thing.
So would I.
It is.
This is
brilliant.
Marcus Stroman, arguably the face of the team, going on the DL because he's been a gas can all year. Slide that news in.
That's
when everyone's
number,
focused
that's
on Dubas
three on
and
your
Casey,
depth chart,
absolutely.
As far as news today,
absolutely. And I would guess this is how it played out. This is not me breaking anything. I don't have the inside information. But guys like Shanahan and Masai Ujiri, they have to meet with the board after the season. Hurting those cats is not the easiest thing to do. We're talking about big shooters in the business industry that are flying all over the world and have other priorities.
Yeah.
I would assume they got the board together. They said, Shanahan's up in the morning, Masai's up in the afternoon. Shanahan walked in and said, Dubas is my guy. Masai walked in and said, Casey's out. And then they convened and said, how are we going to handle this? And I'm guessing collectively MLSE came to the conclusion that you leak the bigger Maple Leaf news first, and then you slide the Casey news out later.
Well, that's a...
That would be my guess.
Good PR people would know that too, right? If you're going to have two massive announcements, one positive, one not positive, especially with Casey's situation. This isn't... I don't think it's the most popular decision.
No, it's not. This is the winningest coach in franchise history.
And why do you fire a coach and then come out and say, well, we'll ask him ourselves. There's nothing... He did nothing wrong. And this guy's an unbelievable guy.
He's going to win Coach of the Year.
He won Coach of the Year. Why'd you fire him then? Like, you got to have a reason.
Well, he didn't give that reason today. He started saying, Masai was saying, it's a celebration, as if it's a
celebration. Wake
or something.
The guy got fired.
I know. Now, listen, Dwayne Casey's been great to this show.
Yes.
We have a montage we're going to play later that you guys, it's going to be bittersweet for you guys. This might be Mullen's greatest work yet. We've got a montage that you're going to want to hear later this afternoon.
Is it just Hazy B, Brian?
We'll let you hear it.
There's a noodles. There's got to be a noodles.
We'll let you guys hear it a little bit later. Believe me, it'll be worth the wait. It'll be worth your time. You want to hear this Dwayne Casey montage.
Sure.
But Ujiri, he didn't give an explanation other than sometimes this kind of stuff just has to happen.
Yeah.
But it's got to be deeper than that. Like, it's obviously, you can't go to the board and just say, I think the hourglass is up. And you have to have an explanation as to why you think Dwayne Casey's got to go.
Yeah.
So
it's either X's and O's in critical situations under his coaching, the star players don't get the job done in playoff. Like, it's something.
Is it a country club? Like, what is it? What is going on where you said this is the last straw? I can't do this anymore because Casey has been here for 7 years. They've improved year over year over year. He's going to win Coach of the Year more than likely. Why now? What just happened or what happened over the course of the season that Masai Ujiri said, I can't accept anymore?
What I didn't like about the timing of it, I think Masai has all the power of when press conferences happen or what the details are going to be. Why'd you wheel out Casey on Wednesday? To what? To break down the season, and he says, you know, I've talked to Masai, and we're going to look at ways to improve moving forward. You didn't have to do that. You could have just fired him and said, away you go. You don't need to address the media and talk about ongoing plans for next year. That is not cool. It's not a cool thing to do. And I want to know why he did that, too.
Yeah, we'll ask him. Like, I didn't think too much of it because, like, coaches get fired and they come out and have press conferences. But I guess what I would say looking back on it now is, there were already reports that he was going to get fired.
Right.
So this wasn't like any other end-of-the-season evaluation process. There were already reports that turned out to be correct, and our boy Josh Lewenberg was the front of the line in this. Josh was the first one to report Masai's leaning towards firing Dwayne Casey. So Casey had to handle those bullets, you know, from the guys who are reporting it. Hey, I'm reporting that I think you're going to get fired.
Yeah, I know.
How do you respond to my reporting? I mean, that is... That's not easy, but it comes with the territory. I mean, he gets paid a lot of money. I'm not losing sleep for Dwayne Casey because he's going to get another job.
You're right. He has a great reputation. It just doesn't it, like the expectation level, the new coach, is he expected to win 60-plus games now or change the culture? Like, you know, I saw Masai's press conference and he's like he alluded that he didn't think the team was very tough. He said he needed like toughness and wanted like basically saying like Casey wasn't tough on these guys or didn't get the most out of what he felt they were capable of.
We have talked to multiple NBA guests since they got swept.
Correct.
the most prominent one being Chris Bosch.
Man, did he that was an indictment that day.
Chris basically said these guys are soft, but I don't see how a new coach is going to instill toughness into DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry or Serge Ibaka is going to find his game. That is the difficulty, I think, for every Raptor fan right now. This is business. It happens. This isn't surprising that they're moving on from the coach. They've been swept 2 years in a row by the same team. That's not surprising. But how does this team all of a sudden take a next step with a new coach? Like, how is Kyle Lowry any different in the fourth quarter of game one with a new coach?
He's not. And that's why that costs the coach's job.
Generally speaking, the players
cost the coach the job.
Yeah. So we'll catch up with Masai at around 5:30. Kyle Dubas will be in studio in about 20 minutes. And this was also news that people were expecting. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as much of a lock because of the timing, right? Like, I still don't have an answer on why Shanahan didn't coincide the two news conferences, like lose out and Kyle's in. For whatever reason, he decided he had to take more time. Maybe he had to pass it with the board. I don't know what happened.
Right.
There. Maybe he did speak with other people. I didn't get that impression, but who knows?
I think he knew Kyle. He said today Kyle and or Mark was going to be his guy.
He's going to be one of those guys.
Both of them. And there wasn't a definitive answer about Mark Hunter's future coming out of it.
It's got to be a tough situation. I mean, you want the job and you don't get the job. Do you really want to go back? And does the guy that got the job knows that you wanted the job too? Does he want you around too?
Well, that's the other side of it that isn't brought up enough. That Dubas is now in a position where, let's say Hunter sticks around. He knows Hunter wants his job, wants right. the gig. Let's say Lou is still kicking around in the background. This is a guy who had the job, who preceded him. Like, those are big personalities and big names in the game that are kicking around, and you're a rookie GM who's never been in this position before.
But I think Kyle will do what's best for him and the organization, and that's his right now. He's the general manager.
He's the
guy. Toronto Maple Leafs.
Absolutely.
So it's his right to do whatever he feels.
Everybody has a different way of going about it.
Exactly.
If it's me, I don't want you around, and I don't want you around, and leave me alone. Because I just don't want the...
I get
obviously,
that.
You got to have people that you go to and say, what do you think about this situation? And apparently this staff does that. They share information. They have different ideas. But I don't need it. I don't need you there and you there.
Well, I definitely wouldn't want Lou around. I'll say that. But I would not want Lou hanging over my shoulder being like, oh, really? You're making that move.
Thing is,
no, thank you.
They're bright hockey minds, all of them, right? So Lou's a brilliant hockey mind. Mark Hunter's a brilliant hockey mind and scout. And Kyle's a brilliant hockey mind. So you do want a collective opinion, but at what risk, right? Like, of too many cooks in the kitchen? You see it sometimes the other way, where a general manager just isolates himself and it's him and nobody else. Sometimes that doesn't work out as well.
Well, I'm not suggesting that, but
no.
I'm talking about the characters that are in play right now that we know of.
Right.
Shanahan, Lou if he's still a consultant, Hunter, Babcock. If you get into a position, and this is where Kyle Dubas is going to have to prove that he is strong-willed, he's going to have to prove that he has the ability to make a definitive decision regardless of emotion, regardless of what other people are saying.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be in a situation here with Hunter in particular where he kind of makes it known that he's not that happy, maybe he wants some more power, and you compensate for that even though maybe you don't truly believe you should be.
Right.
Where all of a sudden you're like, all right, Hunter, we'll do that because you said it, and I want you to feel good. You can't have that.
No, no.
Like, you got to make sure that if Hunter's sticking around and you're Dubas, you go to him and say, make no mistake, you work for me.
Yeah.
I tell you how this is going to play out. Now, I want you to do what you do best.
Right.
And you got to give people freedom to work within the parameters of whatever their gig is, but you can't allow...
General manager has to be a sociopath.
And Babcock, also, like, you know, Babcock's going to be like, okay, let's see what I can get out of this. Or how can I play this card?
Bring me another Frankie Corrado and see what I do with him.
Well,
if he was willing to do that to Lou, what do you think he's going to do with Dubas when Dubas brings somebody in?
But I think that's where Brandon Shanahan is confident enough that Kyle is going to blaze his own path. You don't make that move on like hoping that he's going to do it. There's something that in the last 4 years that Kyle Dubas has shown, Brendan Shanahan and the organization that he's ready to go on his own. So good on him.
Well, and that's why I will say this above everything else. Shanahan deserves the benefit of the doubt based on his track record in Toronto. Pretty much everything he's done has been a borderline home run.
Yep.
So if Shanahan is in a position here where he's like, Dubas is the guy, more so than Hunter, more so than any free agent, or even a guy who's currently employed that I think I can
right.
peel away from another team. If Shanahan is looking at this, and he's obviously put his homework in, and has come to the conclusion that Dubas is the right guy, I think Shanahan deserves the benefit of the doubt.
I agree.
And now it's on Dubas to prove who he is as a GM, because he's never been in this position. Like, I was on the morning show this morning, and they're like, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, and I said what I just said, that based on Shanahan's past history, I'll say thumbs up because Shanahan made the move. But I don't know how Dubas is going to react in this position because I have no track record.
Right.
Like, when Lou came in, I knew what Lou was about. He'd been doing it for 30 years.
Right.
When Jimmy Rutherford went to Pittsburgh, I'm like, I got a pretty good idea how he's going to handle that just based on his track record in Carolina. Right. I don't know how Dubas is going to work as a GM.
And
no, he's never done
it. Comes out and says they either love the hire or they don't love the hire. Let him do his job, and then you make an assessment on the hire.
Right.
And believe me, he's got to hit the ground running
yeah.
because this is a massive offseason.
Yeah, massive offseason to start your general manager career in Toronto. But until the things start happening, you don't know what he's all about until you see.
Well, and the Leafs have really sheltered him and kept him out of the limelight because of Lou and the way that he works.
Well, that's where Kyle's going to blaze his own path as to how he wants to run his company. Is he going to be more visible? Is he going to be more accessible than Lou? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe some of the things that Lou has put in place, he can follow in that path, or he respects. I mean, Kyle talked today about the things that he learned from Lou, and some of those things you just add to your own toolbox and go, yep, I want to run my business just like this. Lou taught me this way, and that's the way I would like to do it. But I think there's going to be other things where Kyle's going to say, you know what, I didn't like that as much. When I become a general manager, this is the way I will handle
Absolutely.
That situation. And it's his right to do it. But, you know, to your point, 6 months from now, we'll know a lot more about Kyle Dubas and his managing technique because we haven't seen it right now.
Exactly.
Today's day one.
And listen, this is when the GMs get paid. This is when you get paid. Moving into the draft and free agency. Like, this is what you're on the clock.
Yeah.
This is where you prove who you are. And I'm not saying that he's got to do it this summer to prove to anybody that, you know, he's a genius or he can build a Stanley Cup winner overnight or anything like that. But this is where you make your bones as a GM in the league.
How many times have we said about Steve Yzerman? That's great general manager work. Getting Hedman at that number, Stamkos at that number, Kucherov at that number.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
When you say this GM has got some jam and he gets things done.
Well, it's a perfect platform for Dubas to make a big splash right off the bat. If he can get Matthews, Marner, and Nylander all signed this summer to numbers where people are like, you know what, the Leafs won that deal. But if you walk away and it's like, wow, you gave him that kind of money, immediately people are going to be like, what's
that's
going
right.
on here?
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the market and the sport and the job.
I'd be willing to bet all three of them is not going to be signed by training camp.
Well, Nylander's got to be if he's playing. He needs a deal. He's an RFA. He has to be signed.
But, I mean,
Marner and Matthews, you don't have to until next summer if you don't want to.
Yeah, and you can deal with that in levels, but you're right. And guaranteed, Brendan Shanahan, before he made the decision to hire Kyle Dubas as the general manager, he knows what Kyle Dubas's plans are moving forward.
Oh, for sure.
Especially those three particular contracts.
Well, and also Lou's voice would have been heard on all that.
For sure.
And Hunter and Shanahan. Like, let's not forget, Shanahan is still the guy at the top of the pyramid. So Kyle Dubas expected to join us in about 10 minutes in studio. Masai Ujiri at 5:30. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. So Kyle Dubas is up here. He's on the CTV TSN compound. I don't know where he is, but
He's doing the car wash right now.
Yeah.
Through every show, through
Sports
everything.
Center, that's hockey, everybody.
Yeah. I hope Joe from the bridge isn't harassing him.
I don't believe Joe's actually here today. Joe's got his big stag tonight.
Oh, that's right. We got to give love to Joe from the bridge.
Shout out to Joe from the bridge.
Getting married.
Yep. Finally moving on up and getting married.
Growing up. He's a big boy now.
Baby doll.
That's him, his girl's baby name?
Doll. Yeah.
That's what he act. I think he introduces people to his fiance as baby doll.
No, he doesn't do that.
Are you sure? I think I've witnessed
on
that
on Insta.
Before.
It's always me and baby doll.
Really?
I think. Is that Malls? Is that what he calls? Yeah.
I wonder how she really feels about that.
Well, I mean, she appreciates the love, I'm sure, but like it must get a little bit.
Baby doll.
It's all right.
You're okay with that?
Yeah. What would be her name for him?
Crazy Joe from the bridge.
Crazy Joe. Like
Lunatic
Crazy Joe DiVola.
Yeah.
Crazy Joe.
Crazy Joe from the bridge, who is celebrating his future nuptials.
Yes.
With his stag tonight. Well,
good for him.
Bad move.
Well, he's committed. And the Leafs are committed to Kyle Dubas. And Brendan Shanahan came out and he did say that Hunter was in on it. Like, he interviewed Hunter, and Hunter wanted the job.
Yeah, he was very clear to say that, Brendan.
Well, I think you have to be, right? Like, this is where, again, I wonder where this whole operation is going. Not so much in terms of player personnel and how they're going to build the team, but how the team is going to operate. Because Dubas was asked about Lou. And when we get Kyle in here, we'll get him to explain what it was like working for Lou and what he liked about the way Lou operated and worked and the rules and regulations that came with Lou.
Can the guys have facial hair now?
Well, like he said, he hasn't made those type of decisions, and I wouldn't suggest those are his highest priorities. But what came with Lou Lamoriello was a complete shutdown and a vacuum of information. Like, nothing got out.
Right.
And it wasn't only the Leafs, because you can't expect the rest of the league to do your bidding for you unless they're somehow in on it as well. And by all accounts, every other GM, coach, player, agent was like, I'm not leaking anything because Lou told me don't leak it.
Right.
And if I do...
Well, I've heard GMs talk or people in the industry say, there's a call and this is who's in this room right now and who's going to know about this. So if it ever gets out, it's one of you, or you, and we'll find out who.
Right. Yeah. And then we'll blackball you and everyone's going to know about it. Like, is that going to continue?
I would think the...
I don't know.
I just from the outside, I think that's one thing that has been extremely successful in, we'll call it Lou's regime, was their cone of silence. Sunday at 1 o'clock, traded for this guy. Did this. Like, you wouldn't hear anything. All of a sudden, just, nope, acquired this guy. Was Freddie Anderson like a Sunday or...
Yeah, it was something like that. The amount of times you'd be on your phone and an email would pop up and all of a sudden a guy's been acquired or a move has been made.
I think that is, in a market like this, it's unheard of. Because everyone knows somebody. You always have something going with somebody. And the fact that they've been able to have that cone of silence, I think it was very impressive.
Well, Lou proved, and company, because they were all in on this, that it is possible to accomplish that. I didn't think it was possible. Like, when Lou was hired, I was like, Lou's going to have to realize that he's not in Jersey anymore.
Right.
Like, this is a different market with a different media and a different appetite for information. Because there's way more fans, way more content that surrounds this team.
Yeah.
It towers over what Jersey represented.
He controlled the information.
But I give him credit. He achieved what I thought was borderline impossible for 3 years. And I wonder if Dubas will continue that. I wonder if that's even something he's thought of. Is that a priority? Did it help them? I don't know. Like, are media members allowed on the charter again? Little stuff like that that are details that I'm not sure the average fan necessarily knows about or even really cares about.
Right.
But all fell on the plate of Lou Lamoriello. Or he went out of his way to put them on his plate. Like, now I'm here, so this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this, that, and the other.
Yeah, like, there was some things that weren't that popular, but Lou was
he didn't care.
Doing it.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, does Dubas step in and go immediately, this is what we're
things,
doing?
Though, too. I did, like, this fantasy thing where I signed autographs in the press box for people were doing a day in the life of a Leaf, whatever. And I was like, what'd you guys think of the dressing room? I'm like, we weren't allowed, and then like a handler said, Lou didn't want them in the dressing room. I'm like, they're not even in town.
That's awesome, though. I think it's awesome. I really do. I don't know
I'm like,
why.
These poor guys, they just want to see the... No, they're like, Lou didn't want that to happen.
They kind of like pull you aside and whisper in your ear, like, No, that's not going to happen.
But that's what I don't understand. What would be the problem?
Then there was these big, like, furry Roots jackets. I'm like, do all the Leaf players get these? And they were like... And once again, the handler was like, Lou doesn't want the players to get gifts.
See,
I was like, what the hell?
I personally hated people coming through the dressing room.
Because, I know, but Jamie, they weren't even in town. It was
they're
just
on
a
the
quick
road,
little
dude. It's July.
But still.
Or something. Why can't someone go through the room?
Like,
what does
rope
it
off and just let them peek. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Why would it matter? Be honest. As a player, why would that matter if you're not even there?
If you're not even in town, why would you dislike it that much?
So there's nothing in my stall.
Nothing. You're not even there. They were on the road, on a long road
that
trip.
That I would be fine with. But
yeah,
I,
no kidding, because you'd never know
here's
about
the
it.
Problem I always had.
Yeah.
Always. After a game, I would come out of the shower after working out or whatever. Come out of the shower, I'd walk by the dressing room. There would always be a crowd of people around Kiprasov's stall and my stall, and there
looking
would be somebody. Oh no! Somebody would have my mask right on their gross face.
No, I don't want that either.
And you know why they wouldn't put Kippers on? Because it was wet from the game. Mine would be nice and dry, so somebody would have my mask on their grubby face, right where my face.
Well,
goes.
That's on security not to allow that. I think there's a difference.
That drove me nuts.
From people like getting right to the border of the room and looking in and being like, wow, cool room. And people walking in and actually trying on people's
Matthew's
equipment
helmet.
And stuff
I'm
like that.
Put Matthew's helmet on.
Yeah, that's on the security. I can understand that. But why it's just like no one's allowed in, that's a very different story.
Andrew Ference, after the lockout, had some people from Switzerland over or something. And one of them had my mask on. I went nuts.
I don't blame you for that. All right, Masai Ujiri in an hour. Kyle Dubas, the new GM of the Leafs, will be in studio in 2 minutes. All right, Masai Ujiri in about an hour. Obviously, big news for the Raptors today. Dwayne Casey being fired. So a big member of the sports community in the city is on his way out. And also a big member of the sports community in the city is on his way in. Although he's been a part of the city and the Maple Leafs for a number of years now, but it was official earlier this morning. The new GM of the Maple Leafs is Kyle Dubas, and he joins us in studio. Congrats, Kyle.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for coming up.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so take us through the past few years, because when you first got hired, we'd get you on the show and we'd talk to you a lot, and then Lou came in and we couldn't talk to you anymore. So what's been going on with you?
Well, I had a lot of fun working with Lou.
Yeah.
The first year was working with Dave, and obviously Dave Nonis and Lou, I learned a lot from both. Very different styles of management. Lou's is well documented. I grew to enjoy being in my own cone of silence. A lot of people would look at it and say, gee, like, don't you wish you could go and do this show, that show, and don't you get a lot of value from doing that? But I really learned over the years to enjoy just being able to go and do the job, not have to worry about doing all the other ancillary things that go along with working in management in Toronto or anywhere in hockey. And so it's really just been grinding away on the player development side, which includes the Marlies, our R&D group, and continuing to just evolve whatever Lou is needed on the Leaf side. It's been great 3 years and great working with Lou for sure.
We were just talking about Lou and some of the interesting little rules and different things he does. But did he have kind of one staple where you said, whatever I do in this industry, I'm always going to keep that one thing with me and do the same thing?
I think Lou, the one thing that he has his way of phrasing it that has been repeated over and over, which is if time is on your side, you use it. And every time I'm making a decision now, even hockey or non, whether it's family, whether it's to do with personal stuff, I think the underlying maxim there is just patience and being able to use your patience and to build your patience and it's really I've found helped me to improve my decision making and improve the way in which I make decisions and the quality of them. And I know it's not one of the rules that that people like to look at, whether it's the grooming or the shaving or what have you. But it's been something that every time I'm going to do something, I picture Lou kind of saying it to me repeatedly.
Kyle Dubas in studio. You mentioned what you've been doing working with the Marlies and player development. Right. In terms of the Maple Leafs day to day, you know, you guys are working on a trade or working on a signing. How involved have you been in those decisions? Have you been in that room? Like, take us through your day to day with in terms of the Maple Leafs over the past couple of years.
So the way that it was set up and the way that Lou wanted it set up is he explained to me when he first came on that he thought the best thing for my development was to really grab the player development system, and whether that was the Marlies or our players outside of our direct control with the Marlies, really grab hold of that. But as it pertained to the Marlies, to really manage it as though I would manage an NHL team, relations with the coaches, with the players, with the public relations team, and really grab that and own that. At the beginning, you know, I was a little bit apprehensive, but as the years went on, especially getting through last year and then getting into this season, I could see the benefits of that beginning to really come to fruition. And then what I would do on a daily basis, I'd start with the Marlies, and if we're at MasterCard Center, you're all there together anyhow. And if the Marlies were at Rico, then I would basically meet Lou back at ACC in the afternoon and talk on the phone repeatedly throughout the day about different things that were going on and happening with our team, or different things that we were considering doing. And he was very, very inclusive. And I think especially as I earned his trust, I never looked at it as though he had to come in and, you know, begin to spill everything to me, because I don't know that that was his personality, but I felt I had to earn his trust. And I think as time went on, especially in this last season, after working together for 2 years, the relationship was just outstanding and a massive, massive help to me. I learned more than I ever could have thought when he first came on in July 2015.
The one constant since you've been here would be the guy who hired you,
mm-hmm,
day one and today. That'd be right. Brendan Shanahan. And Brendan was asked at the press conference today, you know, his role in the operation of the team and day-to-day and player personnel, et cetera. And I believe I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, I'm there for support when need be. Can you give us some examples of when you would lean on a guy like Shanahan going forward?
I think anytime you have someone in your organization that has played and had success and then moved from the NHL to his position that he's in now, you'd be remiss to make decisions with regards to the hockey team or the way you want to operate the hockey team without at least bouncing them off him. And that would apply to most people within the organization. That would apply to Mark Hunter. That would apply to Brandon Pridham, to Mike Babcock, etc. That's always been the way that I've been, whether it's been in Sault Ste. Marie with the Marlies or my time with the Leafs, is that I think you have people. The people are massive assets to the organization. And I think Brendan was clear on that. I think my style has always been and will continue to be to include everybody in what we're doing and have that become our decision-making system.
That's where I was going to go, your style as a manager. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as you gain more experience, I'm sure it's evolved and grown.
Right.
How are you going to translate that to the biggest stage? Because you just mentioned, you know, the Sioux, it's a smaller stage in the OHL.
Right.
The AHL, it's not as big a stage, but it's still a massive stage. Now you're on the grandest stage under the biggest spotlight.
Doesn't get bigger than this.
Yeah,
Toronto.
Right now, which is a great opportunity for you.
Right.
But how will you translate that into what this market kind of, for lack of better words, expects?
Right. I think, Jimmy, what I would do is the same thing that I did when I went into the Sioux. I think a lot of people had the same questions, understandably. And, you know, I have my personality and the way that I am, the way that I treat people in general, take aside the hockey part of it. And then when I got in and kind of felt, you know, got my footing there, found myself, then continue to evolve and adapt. Same then coming over. The Leafs has been interesting, right? Because it was different the first year, then it was different between when Dave Nonis departed and when Lou came on. So you have some experience in there. And then now being able to work. The one benefit to that that I do think that will make this transition easier for me is that a lot of the players a good portion of the players that are on the Leafs played for us with the Marlies, so they kind of have an idea for how I am and how I manage. The stakes are obviously higher for the players in terms of where they're at and their ability to make their living, and for me and my responsibility to the Leafs and the organization. So I think I'll take the same tack that I took when I went to the Sioux and then to Toronto and apply that here, just to continue to be me, not try to imitate anybody else or anybody else's management style, and then continue to adapt and evolve as I think maybe I'm underachieving in certain areas, for sure.
With the newly announced GM of the Leafs, Kyle Dubas, in studio.
When you came on the scene here, I think you were kind of known as a numbers guy.
Right.
That was a big part of your deal. Like being around guys like Shanny and Mike Babcock the last few years, has that kind of given you a different outlook that the numbers has to match kind of determination and some of the other things with the eye test?
Right. It's interesting because when I first went to Sault Ste. Marie, I definitely wasn't a numbers guy. I grew up in scouting and had worked for the team from a very young age. And then when I went there, because of it's a great organization. Ownership there is fantastic, but reality is they don't have the same resources as others in the league. So we had to find a way to improve our decision making. And I had always been I had always been very interested in the way that different sports were using data and objective data and information to supplement their decision making or improve their decision making. And so when we went to Sault Ste. Marie, we started to incorporate that in. And then I think purely because of the timing of it and where that evolution was going in different sports, it became something that got latched onto and my reputation. And I really don't spend a lot of time fighting whatever people want to say, because I would waste my whole day around fighting that. So I've found a great deal of value in using that data and having it become a part of the decision-making model, while also relying on your scouting information, what you're getting from your coaches, the player's character, and so on and so forth. So I think those people that you mentioned, whether it's Brendan, Mike, Lou, Mark, you learn something from them because of their experience and their success in the game. And you just add what we're learning from the other aspects to help that.
Well, we've talked a lot about this this gig, obviously. I mean, we talk a lot about the Leafs and when the GM job opened. And over the past couple of weeks, we've discussed, what it would be like to have Lou still as a part of the organization, where some people, myself included, if I were to put myself in your shoes, I might feel uncomfortable that my predecessor is still kicking around. Brendan,
non-negotiable for me.
Yeah, you would say just get rid of him. Like, he can't be in the building.
I wouldn't want it. That's
right. And Brendan admitted today, like, Mark Hunter wanted the job,
right,
and you guys were both interviewed, and Mark is still employed by the team. That could make some things uncomfortable. I mean, I would think that could be uncomfortable. Take us through your thought process when it comes to those relationships and those guys in particular.
I think once the dust settles, it'll be very beneficial for everybody to sit, and I think everyone in the end wants to know where they stand and where they're at moving ahead. So for me, I think it'd be premature today to comment on where everybody else really thinks the organization is at, or with me in moving to the general manager chair today. My goal is to, in the next week or two, begin to sit down with everybody and begin to get their take on what they think they're capable of, where they think they fit, and then for me to make the decision on whether that's going to be a fit moving ahead. I think, if you're referencing Lou, Lou is right now is a great mentor and continued advisor to me, regardless of what his title is or anything like that. So I think he'll always be around for me personally, and I hope continues to stay in that role with the team, of course, because it's a great resource for me and he just does a great deal for me personally. So that'd be great.
You're not, again, new within the organization. You've been here for right. 4 years, so you're aware of the players, you're aware of the coaching staff. Potentially a lot of heavy lifting this summer. Nylander's an RFA. As of July 1, you can hand out contracts to Matthews and Marner. These are three cornerstones up front. We know some of the issues on the defensive end, or at least we have discussed those. And as you look at it now, where is the focus going to be in terms of building this team? Because you got a very good team now. How do you get it to being great?
As I said earlier today, and have continued to say, I think that is the major focus, is that the team... I think that the hardest, there's been a lot of climbing done, but the hardest part of the climb is going to be in the next few years. So how are we going to get better than the other two teams that finish ahead of us in our division? What steps are we going to take? We're going to accrue some natural improvements in the development of the players, largely because they're still very young. Mm-hmm. So it's on us to help them to continue to improve and develop and get better. And then as it pertains to supplementing the roster, I think we have the ability with our situation as it pertains to the salary cap and so on and so forth to explore whatever is out there and to add anything that we think is good value to the team that can help the team without sacrificing the long term. So it's exciting. As it pertains to the player contracts, they're obviously important. They're going to take up a lot of everybody's discussion and time, and justifiably so because of the ways that those players have started their career. On Monday morning, I'll begin sitting with Brandon Pridham and going through the various scenarios, and then we'll have a sound strategy to tackle those once we're eligible to do so.
Well, congrats on the new gig. I mean, you're a guy, you've been in the city for a while. I think a lot of people, the safe money was on you getting this job, and obviously it ended up happening in the end. And
so outside of the business and that, any vanity purchase, anything exciting?
Yeah, like, now that you're the GM, what's going
Toronto
on
Toronto Maple Leafs, like what, you know, big dinner?
Jet somewhere.
Yeah.
Anything like know. From a
what's
personal
the plan
standpoint?
Here?
Like, you know, what's your life's changed today?
I leave that to the boss at home to decide by and large. But obviously we talked about my wife and I last night that it is the today is going to be a major change in the way that we live and operate. But the community here has been so great since Sault Ste. Marie is very small, very rabid fan base. And they were negative when we came in and started. And then once we got good, they became worse because they were telling you why you weren't good enough.
Right, exactly.
Every single place you went here, you can, in this community, it's so great. You can go everywhere. A lot of the time people don't have any idea where you are. That may change.
It will now.
The community is so welcoming, and it's a great place to live and operate, even the media and everybody involved. It makes it a lot of fun. So it's an exciting challenge, and we're looking forward to it.
Game 5 in the suit tonight. Get on a bird and get up there. I'm sure they'll pay for it.
That'd be great.
Congrats on the new gig. Thanks for coming up.
Thanks, guys.
There's Kyle Dubas, the new GM of the Maple Leafs. Masai Ujiri at 5:30. Ray will call in from Denmark at around 5:05, and we've got a Dwayne Casey montage for the ages. Very emotional day here.
I'm throwing my tracksuit in the garbage.
You've had enough?
My buddy Dwayne Casey gave me that tracksuit, and I'm never wearing it again.
I don't think it was actually him in the end. It was actually
he made it happen.
I don't even know if he really did that.
I know that for a fact.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I told you. It went down the pigeon train, and it came to us.
Down the pigeon train. All right, so Ray's coming up, a Dwayne Casey montage and Masai Ujiri at 5:30.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.